Blog Talk Radio.
But I'll be with you for the remainder of that time.
and I am asking you that will. I won't go into any more preliminaries because at this time, we set this time aside to reference Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So I'm asking all you beautiful, beautiful, God-fearing people out there in my digital listening audience on tonight to bow your heads with me as we go down and reference our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, on tonight. Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for enabling us together in unity once again around this spectrum. Father God, we're coming as pilgrims through this barren land, God. We're asking you to anoint these lips of clay to bring a rhema word to those that may or may not know of you in the pardons of their sins. I'm asking you, Heavenly Father, to grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom to those that may be hurting deep within the epitome of their souls. Father God, these and other blessings and prepositions we ask in your Son Jesus' name, and we shall all say in unity, amen and amen. And I just thank you for taking out your time, as I said previously, to tune in to the Old Ship of Zion. And so we're coming at you tonight. Our sermon entitled is Holy Living. I'll say that again. Holy Living. Hallelujah. And we know that God commanded us to be holy, even as he is holy. Hallelujah. And we're going to read in the law of 2 Corinthians 6, and we'll go down to the 11th verse. And it reads like this. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly, hallelujah, to you, our hearts is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but are restricted by your own affection. Now in return for the same, I speak as children to children. You also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Baal? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come from among them and be ye separated, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be your father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Hallelujah. And let's go on over to our second scripture reading. Will be taken from the law of 1 Peter 1 and 7. Living before God our Father in a holy living. Therefore, gird up the lions of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Hallelujah. And so we know that when we was in the world, we did worldly things. Hallelujah. We know that we did anything that we was big enough and bad enough, and we did anything we thought we could get away with when we was in the world. You know, some of us, we drink. Some of us gamble. Some of us swore and lied. Some of us went to strip bars and topless clubs. Some of us went to the gambling casinos. And we even have some of us that was tipping around with Mrs. Jones and Mr. Jones. But when you come into the livelihood of holy living, we take on a new heart, mind, and soul. And we put away all of those things that are filthiness and a carnal mock of the flesh. Now, we know that we used to do all those things. We used to cuss. We used to swear. You know. And we did everything that was unlike God because we was in the world. But when we come to the knowledge and into the knowledge of God, we put away all of those former things of the lust thereof. So that means that we can no longer hang around with your homegirl that's flipping and tipping in the next room and going to the gambling casino, lying, going to the honky-tonk, going to the Jew joint, going to the gambling bars and the topless clubs. All of those things are the former things that we used to do. So now we have put all of those things behind us. So those were things that we did in the world, and they were sinful things. So when God saved us and filled us with his precious spirit of the Holy Ghost, it gave us a new mindset. We got a new way of walking. We got a new way of talking. We got a new way of wearing our hair. We got a new way of wearing our clothing. Why? Because we are walking in the newness of Christ. We are walking in a lifestyle of holiness and righteousness. And all those old friends that are still have their head in the cookie jar, you've got to let them go. It's just like the songwriter said, love like a TKO. You've got to let them go. You got to say, home girl, I'm sorry, but you know what? The things that you're doing, I used to do. And I don't do those things anymore. You tell your home guy, hey, I'm a married woman, so I don't hang out with the old guys at the club like I used to do. Because now I have a mindset to go home to the husband that God has given me, or at least the husband that you said I do to. So it may be the husband that you gave unto yourself, but in regard to that is your husband. You signed on the dotted line. When you said I do, then you was married as a union. So now you are a married woman. You are a married man. So God gives you the mindset to go home to your beautiful wife. Go home to your gorgeous husband. To your what? Your six-pack man. Or your $6 million man that he may look into your eyes. Because he's for your eyes only. So God will make you go home to your husband. God will make you go home to your wife. You won't have to hang out with Mrs. Jones and Mr. Jones. You can go home to your own rightful, lawful husband and lawful wife. That what living for God and living a holy lifestyle will bring about. You won't have a desire to lie no more, because the things that you will be saying now will be of truth as your ability. And if it's something that you can't come through with, then you can always go back and clarify that and make that right with whomever you made that solemn promise to. You can go back and say, hey, things didn't come out as I expected, so I wasn't able to come through on my end of the bargain. That's not a lie. But as far as you swearing and doing all those worry things, wearing your tight skirt and your skirt so tight you can see the seam of your underwear, we don't do those things anymore. You don't wear all your cleavage out anymore. You close yourself up, because why? You are clothed in righteousness and holiness. And you're living the lifestyle that's pleasing unto God. Because the Bible tells me that holiness without, holiness without, W-I-T-H-O-U-T, holiness without, which no man or woman, son or daughter, shall see God. So you got to be holy if you want to see Jesus. You can't come to God half-stepping. You can't come to God with half, one foot over in the world and one foot over in holiness, because it will not work. It will not work. So you got to be all the way in Christ, living a holy lifestyle, a holy way of living. You don't have a mind to go down to the casino and gamble all your mortgage money off. Gamble all your utilities money off. Gamble all your life savings off. God give you a mind to put your money in a most sacred place. And it don't always have to be in the bank, because it's not the mandatory that you put your currency in the bank. If you have a deposit box or safe that you want to put your money in, that's your prerogative. But you will not have a mind to go and waste your money on things that are of the world. Now, if you want to take your money and help those that is in need, then that would be the thing that would be pleasing unto God, because you will be doing something that God has commanded us to do. And he said, we ought to be helpers one to another. If you see someone that need a shirt, give them a shirt. If you know someone that need a drink, give them a drink. If you know someone that's hungry, feed them. And you will be living a holy lifestyle that's pleasing and acceptable unto Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. We are set apart from the former things of this world. And when you're born again and you've been baptized, you've got to be baptized. You've got to go down in that water for the remission of your sins. And that removes all filth, all that old foul language that you used to speak. That'll be done away with. It's just like turning on a radio dial. You turn on the blues and you keep on turning on that dial, and then after a while you'll find old Christmas station. You see what I'm saying? So then when you get dipped down in that water, that cleansed you from all unrighteousness, all the filth. God said that he put all of our sins, my sins, your sins, our sins, they sins, into the sea of forgetfulness. And God will not be like a lot of us to remember your past. They won't let you live it down. But God said, I will put your sins into the sea of forgetfulness and to remember them anymore. Hallelujah. And so we know, hallelujah, that throughout the age, holiness has been one of the marks of the church. Note the word from the Apostle Creed. I believe in holiness, universal church, living in a society, hallelujah, that emphasizes the welfare of the individual at the expense of the common good. And we ought to lose sight of the fact that we are called not just to live as holy individuals, but also to live as a holy community, set up in God's presence, a community that manifests its truth and action in the world. Hallelujah, Jesus. And we are to be overemphasis personal holiness without consideration of our life in community is a corruption, hallelujah, of the Christian faith. And we know that holy living is more than just following rules for Jesus Christ. We have been set from the law. We have been taught by God to let love be our rule. This earthly Christian experience is a pervading sense of the presence of a God who chose them and cared for them both as individuals and as a community. And we know that the Thessalonians were challenged in three important areas that are expressed in community life: human, sexuality, public life, home, work, school, our church, and private life, small groups. And Paul instructed them in these areas and urged them to walk and to please God, so ye would be abound more and more. That's in the law of 1 Thessalonians 4:1. And what we desperately need today is to recap the sense of our community life as an expression of holy living. Holy living begins with the desire to be used by God and is reflected in faith and action together in community. The holy living is nurtured in the ministry of God, in the preaching and teaching and caring and sharing of God's saving love in the community of which we are a part. Then our daily living becomes a witness to the incarnate word. Hallelujah, Jesus. And we are empowered to influence others. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. In living for God, the one apostolic, holy, and universal Christian community in every place is liberated to hear what the Spirit is saying and to go where the Spirit is leading. Community life is structured by God, is indeed an expression of holy living. Hallelujah, Jesus. And we know that today, we know that the Apostle Paul emphasized that following of Christ needs to keep eternal in view. He wrote, set your minds on things above and not on things on the earth. That's in the law of Colossians 9:2. And we can choose where to put our focus. We can succumb to selfish and earthbound thoughts, blurring our view on everything beyond the end of our nose. Or we can gaze through this sinful thing and fix our attention on things above, where Christ is seated at God's right hand. Hallelujah. And we with him, being and only being, are we in a position to see what's most important in our lives. Only the mind set on things above can say to sin and yes to holiness. The choice is yours and mine. Hallelujah, Jesus. And we know that the only way to see life clearly is to focus on Christ. And in ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to infuse your spirit and impact your mind. As I have brought unto you the divine word of truth, and if this program has been a blessing to you in your daily walk with Christ, if you have any prayer petitions that you want the old ship of Zion to go down in prayer on your behalf, to go in you. Until we meet again, you keep on living and telling of God's goodness. Because there will be a reward when Jesus cracked that cloud on one cloudy day. God's going to crack that cloud, and he said when it comes, he will have his reward with him. So if I was you tonight, I would live as though Jesus was coming tonight. And according to your lifestyle will be according to your crown. Hallelujah. Until we meet again, I want you to go in God as God go in you. Bye for now.
Yeah.